This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Thank you, Danny Zetterman, J.R. Strauss, Jeffrey Meller, Albert Breer, and Jesse Rogers. Most importantly, thank you for listening and all the calls. Hoodie and I back 7 a.m. tomorrow. Crosstalk brought to you by the Hawthorne Racecourse. 1,000-pound thoroughbred athletes back at Hawthorne, Chicago's hometown track. Download the Club Hawthorne app. Watch and wager from anywhere. Details at HawthorneRacecourse.com.
Carm and Yurko.
Yeah.
What's up, fellas?
Hey, boys.
You know what, Carm? I'm about 6/10 hot at you.
6/10?
Yeah.
Wow.
Pretty close. I'm about 6/10 hot.
All right.
Don't give me 7/9 hot.
What'd I do?
Don't give me 7/9 hot.
What do you do?
I'm hot at Carm because you know, it's one thing to, you know, be this, you know, galloping gourmet and, you know, be able to cook stuff for the family and all that.
Bourbon guy.
I couldn't get a rib.
Listen.
You put this on Instagram, the whole rib deal.
Same thing I told him yesterday.
One rib.
Six slabs of rib.
Chris Rock asked for rib. One rib.
I just want one rib.
I couldn't get one rib.
Six slabs yesterday.
Three slabs cut in half. But my in-laws came over for dinner, and so there were none left. Otherwise, I certainly would have brought them to you guys.
Well, how about the next time you make ribs, if we bring you in, either we'll give you the money or we'll bring in a slab. Could you smoke them for us?
Sure. I'll buy the ribs. You don't have to give me the money. I'll buy the ribs.
He won't do it. You know how long I've been waiting for macaroni and cheese with shrimp in it? 7 years now.
You're a bad guy. Let's be honest.
7 years.
First of all,
I even talked to Karen one day at the holiday party, and I said, Karen, not for nothing. I mean, Carmen doesn't remember. I said, with the mac and cheese with the shrimp. I said, can you make me up a nice batch of that and have Carmen bring it in? 7 years I'm
waiting.
First of all, guess what I'm still doing?
I've brought you food before. Maybe not that specific. And the other thing is, they don't want us bringing food in anymore.
Who's us?
The bosses.
What bosses? What?
You don't know about. See, Hoodie was still working at home, though. In the spring, you were working at home. So every Friday, like the height of COVID's raging.
Well, you were
right?
bringing that awesome bakery
every
stuff.
Every Friday, I'm bringing in the box of pastries, right?
Yeah.
I got the boss, Mike Thomas, hooked on it. I got him I gave him a little taste. I mean, he can't wait for Friday morning.
He can't wait
for Friday mornings.
You gave him a little bit of the horse, and now he wants to ride.
Then he comes in. Then he comes one day.
It's cocaine.
Thomas comes in one Friday, and he goes, hey, this is the last week we can do this. He goes, I got to shut it down. We can't bring food and we can't share food. I said, really? And he goes, home office says we can't share food. I said, you want him to bring it anyway? And he's like, we can't do it. So then the next Friday, nothing. Meller comes in. He goes, where are the pastries? I got Eric Ostrowski on the weekend calling me going, what happened to the pastries? He'd come in on Friday nights and he'd grab the leftovers. He goes, where's the pastry? I said, we can't bring it anymore. Everybody was furious. Yeah. They couldn't believe it.
Ostrowski on his off day coming in.
So he's texting me on Saturday. He's texting me at the end of the day.
Baby,
he's like,
just
hey,
a little hit.
There were no leftover pastries today. He said, there's usually a Danish or a donut left. I said, I can't bring them anymore.
They needed a hit?
Wow. And so we can't even bring food. Our guy dropped off the Aurelios from the Pizza Bet.
Yeah.
Travis in our marketing and promotions department said, guys, you can't share this. He goes, you got to eat it. We had a large pizza each. He goes, you can't share. You can't share food. If you take a piece, that's it. The rules are crazy. So I can't even bring you ribs. Let's wait till COVID's over.
Why don't you just meet me in the...
I'll meet you in the alley.
In the alley back there.
Why don't you guys come over?
At noon.
Why don't we plan a day where you guys come over on a weekend and I'll smoke ribs and then you guys...
That can't happen.
Why?
The governor doesn't want people to gather.
Oh, we can gather. We'll keep it to less than 10 people. You guys will come on over.
Letting you know.
We'll do it that way.
Came out new edict yesterday.
There's no new edict.
New edict.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Thanksgiving's going to be different this year. That's the headline. Thanksgiving's going to be different.
There's not going to be turkey. There's not going to be sweet potato parmesan.
The family's coming over.
Yeah.
My house.
We're going by my brother.
20 of them.
You're all right.
Listen, the stuff.
How many Lucas Oil? 25,000? You're good.
Listen.
Don't worry about it.
My mom's stuffing. Yeah. Unbelievable. Gizzards and turkey neck.
Oh, yeah.
Quality.
The real stuff, man.
Look, I got tears in my eyes just thinking about it.
Well, maybe if Carmen's a good partner, he would show up and bring you for Thanksgiving a big vat of the macaroni and cheese.
Carmen's a great partner.
No, bring it to his house.
I got no issues with Carmen. Carmen's a great partner. For one reason or another, Carmen just refuses. I had complimented the mac and cheese with the shrimp in it over and over and over. It's one of the best meals I've ever had. I've given him a shoulder massage back when I could touch him. He won't let me touch him anymore.
Can't touch anymore.
All of it.
Oh, man.
I just, he's not going to do it. That's simply
I'll make it for you.
He has made the decision that he's not going to do it. I went to a bakery on the west side out by the United Center to pick up the Shuiadel one year for St. Joseph's Day.
Yeah.
I went there early in the morning. The guy says, listen, he goes, you got to get here early. It sells out quick. I got here early. I mean,
it's Zeppeli for St.
Yeah,
Joseph's
whatever,
Day.
Zeppeli. Well, I picked something up for us.
Okay.
God forbid.
Right.
Either way, I went out of my way 6 hours early downtown to make sure I had it to come here. So my guy had Zeppeli.
Yeah.
Right?
You're a mensch.
Well, it's just, I mean, listen, I can go get Kraft mac and cheese.
Ugh.
I make it myself.
Stop it.
But it's not the same.
Right.
No. And I don't know why he doesn't understand that. It's like you got to make me beg. You know, beg like a child on the air.
I mean,
please, for the love of God. For the love of God.
Kind
of
like what Jeffrey.
If you can find it in that calloused heart of yours.
I'll find it. You guys come over one night. I'll cook for you.
I mean, the way we do on the south side, you just, you know, exchange it in the alley.
Yeah, right, yeah.
We're good.
Come on, drop it off in the alley.
Yeah, don't worry about it. I get it.
Well, actually, we meet at Kell Park. Right by the lighthouse.
Yes.
We'll fire up the smoker again before the year's over, and we'll make some ribs.
Come by the Coast Guard station. Or we'll meet at the rocks at the point by the old Edison plant.
I mean, it's just not Carm just showing you what it looks like on the outside. He's showing you a little leg.
Oh, yeah.
He's opening it up so
it's
you can see.
Smokering, baby.
Oh, look at that.
He's going to show you the smokering.
It's going to look really good.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Cappy, he gives you a little leg.
Take it right back.
He opens it up.
A little leg.
Well, gives us a little nylon.
Take it right back.
It's
unbelievable.
Basic instinct.
Bringing you them ribs in? Nothing.
I said they were gone. What did you want from me? I can't bring in something that's gone.
Six slabs.
They were eaten. Three slabs.
Six slabs.
Cut in half.
By the way.
So good.
What's the stupidest thing you've done on a Zoom?
Carnivores.
Well, nothing yet, and I hope I never do anything as dumb as Jeffrey Toobin. I mean, you got to wait. I mean, come on. You can't wait like another hour? The impulse can't be. First of all, he's like 60, right? I mean, you're telling me the impulse is that strong? You got to be able to wait like another 30 minutes.
I mean, at a certain age, does it just stop?
I don't think it stops, but I mean, I can refrain myself. In the middle of the day when you got stuff going on, can't you wait till everybody's in bed, for crying out loud?
I mean, idle hands are the devil's playground.
What is he thinking?
Idle time. I mean, what's going on?
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Guys,
there's
no reason
though. For it.
You better double and triple check that camera's off. Because it is kind of scary.
But I don't understand is, like, that moment is a turnout?
That's what I mean. Like, you got to be kidding. Is the impulse is it raging? That wildly inside of you at that moment
he's also Jeffrey Toobin, probably the number one analyst on the OJ trial.
Yeah,
so OJ
just
weighed in.
Boy.
Damn, Jeffrey Toobin. At least Pee Wee Herman was in an X-rated movie theater. I'm just saying.
Working on his comedy.
Yeah, timely reference.
Yeah.
There you hear it from NBC.
A reference from 30 years ago.
NBC sports analyst O.J. Simpson weighing in, nonetheless.
I mean, unbelievable. Wow. He's working on his routine. He's going to go to Zany's. I don't know. You got to be careful these days with this stuff. Everybody's on it all day. You better make sure that camera's turned
off. Joe and Troy
off.
Last night.
That was relatively innocuous. I mean, there was nothing, you know.
That's a lot of jet fuel just to do a little flyover. That's your hard-earned money and your tax dollars at work.
That stuff ain't happening with Kamala Biden ticket. I'll tell you that right now, partner.
Partner. We turn to political analyst John Yurkovich with his thoughts on the flyovers in the NFL.
And Troy by the way, right?
Right. Wasn't Troy is on the far right side of the aisle.
So if I had to go with the my four favorite or my top five favorite flyover moments, the missing man.
The missing man.
The missing man.
Missing man formation.
Missing man formation is a marvelous.
Beautiful.
The stealth.
Yes, I love
when
the
they'd
stealth.
Fly a stealth over.
Yes.
Always fun and exciting.
Agreed.
The Blue Angels, when they'd come over, five zipping real low right over the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely fantastic. And then they'd bring the slow plane out every once in a while. Yeah, they'd bring an old bomber out.
Like a B-52
Yeah, big plane, though, majestic. It had its duty, its job well when not shot down during World War II.
Yeah.
Battle of Midway. You know, all those great ones that they had out there. So those would be my top five flyovers over the course of time.
That's a good list.
I'm here for you.
I don't know we'd be doing a top five of our flyovers. Mine's Superman.
Yeah, a lot of people like to talk politics. I myself, I'll just give you my five favorite flyovers.
I don't even know how political of a conversation that was. I mean,
how about that?
Right.
About buzzing the tower.
Top Gun when he buzzes the tower.
That's right. It was a little bit because we talked about taxpayer dollars.
Negative Ghost Rider.
And spending taxpayer dollars.
The pattern
dollars.
Is full.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but I mean, come on. That's in the grand scheme of things.
Their buddy Brenneman gets fired and there we are on a wide open mic. What are you doing, pal?
Here's different. A drive in a deep left field by Castellanos. It will be a home run.
They're glad none of that happened.
Sylvie. Wow. The bad side of it is like, you know, Buck has got a crazy schedule. Right?
Dude, he's working every day. He's crisscrossing the country day.
Hopefully, he's not going to get canceled for this. Because
I mean, how does he
I can't
not
take
have
Dick Stockton in all. No,
them guys didn't say anything that's out of the ordinary.
No.
By the way, I played during a Republican and a Democratic administration, and the flyovers never ceased.
The flyovers, yeah. Troy seems to be taking a shot at them spending money on a flyover, isn't he?
Yeah.
Isn't he starting off by saying what a waste of money?
Yes. He's not, that he's actually mocking people who think that it's a
Supposedly. Why is he
How do you like the new centrist John Yurkovich here?
That's right. Well, Yurko and I are both centrists. Don't be fooled by some of his rhetoric most of the time.
Right down the middle.
100% correct.
Well, maybe not right down the middle.
I find myself
one
foot over the line.
What's the great line? In the Outlaw Josie Wales?
That's a great movie, but which line are you talking about?
When they're crossing the river. And the guy that's pulling them across the river on the boat,
yeah,
he goes, sometimes you got to be able to sing the Battle Hymn of the Republic and whistle Dixie at the same time.
At the same time, yeah. Yeah.
It's a very lucrative fair. It's ferrying people across the river.
Michael Jordan, Republicans buy shoes too.
Can you whistle Dixie for us?
I can't whistle Dixie.
I'm trying to remember the song right now. Warren Zevon breaks Poor, Poor, Pitiful Me. Into the heart of Dixie.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. Then he brings it back into Poor, Poor, Pitiful Me. So I got to try to remember the words.
All right, we're out of your guys'
way. All right, guys.
Have a great day.
Don't let the door hit you in the keister.
See you, boys.
Hey!
See you tomorrow.
Carmen Yurk are coming up next.
Come on.
I'll see you in the morning, kid.
Don't make me feel warm. Welcome at all.
Get a nap, because we got World Series baseball tonight.
Oh, nap.
Series.
Nap.
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 All right, we'll see you.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN _ Chicago.
Dot, 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 dot. Happy Tuesday, everybody. It's Carmen and Yurko. Week 6 is in the books. We had 2 Monday night football games last night. 4:00 in the afternoon, if you had the means. You were sitting around watching Patrick Mahomes, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and the Kansas City Chiefs really kind of run roughshod over the Bills. I don't think that final score was quite indicative of how much of a beatdown it actually was. Would you like to see 2 Monday night football games every week? That's the Twitter poll question on my timeline, at Carmen DeFalco. Our old buddy Harry Tynowitz had that idea years ago. Harry was an idea man. Most of the ideas, not so much. This one, he might have been onto something, because I think people have thoroughly enjoyed the 2 times already this year.
Out of necessity.
Well, actually, have we seen it 3 times already? Because we saw the opener.
No, they were supposed to, but remember the Patriots-Broncos game.
Oh, that's right.
That
that's
one got
right.
canceled.
So we've had it twice. And do you enjoy it? Would you like to see it be a permanent fixture going forward? The doubleheader on Monday night or late afternoon into Monday night.
Did we have 2 Thursday night games yet this year?
That we have not had.
Okay,
yet.
So I thought we may have had a double dip on that day. I don't mind it as much. I used to like that Monday night football was special and had 1 game. You know, the opener, the season opener, you had a East Coast team and then a West Coast team. Seemed to make a little bit of sense. The gambler's going to stick with it on the East Coast anyway. It's not going to go away. I like that. I don't know if on a consistent basis I can handle to.
Yurk?
Yeah.
What if you did it like...
How about Friday night football?
That's always been...
High school night.
That's high school night, right? It ruffles feathers in Texas. And
Saturday, they give Saturday to college, and when college is over at the end of the year, now they start giving you some Saturday football.
Right. I think they've always resisted Friday, because you're right, it's dedicated to high school.
If they went to 2 Monday nighters, I don't think I'd cry.
I don't think I would either, Yurk.
I believe part of their antitrust exemption is that they are not allowed to have Friday and Saturday night football until, as Yurk just pointed out, the college season is over.
That makes sense.
They are antitrust, so like their broadcasting deals, part of the, you know, part of the reason they are antitrust exempt. Thank you. Yes. Is because they can't broadcast on Friday and Saturday.
And all the antitrust exemption does is say, you can be in monopoly. It's cool.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to be in this country, but you're pretty powerful. So, yeah, you can be one. That's basically what it is, right? You know? So, what do you think? 312-332-3776. Early voting. The poll just went up. Sounds like that was Jeffrey Toobin's problem, too. Hey, you can vote on my Twitter timeline at Carmen DeFalco on Twitter. Follow Yurko, too. He is at Yurko64. That's Yurko with the J and the number 64. And 80% of the audience already in the very early going of the votes here, Yurk, just went up a few minutes ago.
They like the double
dip. That they would
like
mind
the double
dip. It. Our buddy Nick Jakubko texted us. You know, we're on a chain with Nick, and he said, boy, Monday football at 5 o'clock, this is phenomenal. You know, the hard thing for a lot of people is with, if depending on your lifestyle, you know, Nick's a wildly successful lawyer with a beautiful wife and no kids. I mean, he can sit around at 5 o'clock.
He can do what he wants.
I mean, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, right? He can do what he wants. For a lot of people, I can promise you, when that game started right at 4 o'clock, I was not in front of the TV. I was dropping my daughter off at dance class, and then I had to run another errand.
Right? I was running around. 5:05 is when I got a chance to sit down.
Yeah, I really was able to watch the second half. At that point, okay, I could have it on. Things are quieting down a little. The kids are done with their homework. You know, it's not – that's the tricky part for people with younger children, you know, job, whatever it might be. Sitting in front of your TV on Monday at 4 – is a tough ask. Now, maybe they change the time of that if they ever decide to do this going forward. The other problem you run into is you don't want the second game to be too late because then you're wiping out a huge portion of the East Coast offense and maybe potentially the Midwest.
East Coast offense?
East Coast.
Oh, man.
East Coast audience.
Hey, we got a new offense coming. It's the East Coast offense. Sorry. Carmen is going to create it.
The West Coast offense. And
can
the,
you teach it to Matt Nagy?
I can teach it. Bill Parcells was the founder. It was running the football with Joe Morris.
You guys have heard all about the West Coast offense. Well, I've invented the East Coast.
Did he just say that?
The East Coast audience. Excuse me.
Yeah, yes. West Coast offense.
Yes.
East Coast audience.
There's a couple branches off of that, though, Carmen. So, like, if you're not... Conversely, if it's not on Monday afternoon or whatever, you know, early evening, that game's going to be in a Sunday position anywhere. Most people can't watch it anyway.
True.
Unless you're, like, you know, watching the red zone. So true. It's just going to get lost in the fray of other NFL games.
Which happens. That's true.
So this way, even if you can't necessarily sit down for the start of the game, you get it when you're, like, you know, I waited till halftime, started preparing some dinner for the kids.
Yeah,
it was, like, a perfect spot. It's like, all right, let's make some chicken tacos here.
Yeah.
Would the time, if you shift it back, is that better? Or then is ESPN completely like, no, we're paying a premium for Monday Night Football.
$1 billion.
We do not want another game infringing upon our property.
That's the other interesting thing. Like, what does that do to amongst the broadcast partners? What kind of fight or what kind of bad blood does that stir up? Because you're right. ESPN pays roughly, I think, like $1.5 billion almost, right? For the rights to what, 17 games? ESPN broadcasts 17 Monday night games, I think, right?
In right.
Normal circumstances, Yurk. And they're paying $1 billion+ for that entity. So do they want someone else stepping
competing
in,
with
infringing?
Them and stomping on them.
Yeah. I don't know. It's an interesting talking point going forward. You wonder if the league would do it. My approach is similar to Yurko's. I don't think I'd be too upset. I don't know that I'm clamoring for it, but I could probably get behind it if every Monday at 5 o'clock, if I wanted to, I could flip on a Monday night football game.
How about, like, you get $1 billion for one game? You might not get $1 billion for the second game, or you may have to discount it. But if you went $750, $800 million, at the end of the day, you're at $1.5, $1.6 billion, so you did increase the pool.
Yeah, right.
You did get more money, you know, just by moving a game. So that might be a good thing for the players, the owners, and everybody that's out
what
there.
What do you think, folks? 312-332-3776. Were you able to watch and enjoy? If you did watch the first game, you watched Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs absolutely destroy the Buffalo Bills on the ground, Yurko. You know, if you were needing a big week out of Mecole Hardman or Travis Kelce or Tyreek Hill in fantasy, you really weren't going to get it yesterday because it was the running game.
Well, Kelce had a big week.
What did Kelce finish
with? Two touchdowns.
Oh, he had both the touchdowns. Yeah. That's right. He did. So, Kelce, you got it because he had both the touchdowns. Tyreek Hill, Mecole Hardman had very quiet week. Sammy Watkins, of course, is hurt. You were better off having the running backs or Travis Kelce yesterday. They just ran roughshod all over the Bills. I mean, it was like, what was the final count? 200-something yards, I think. They ran for about 5.5 yards a carry. A career game, very young career for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And certainly it left Bears fans wondering, can Matt Nagy call Andy Reid his buddy, his mentor, right, Yerk? That's his mentor.
It is, absolutely.
And can he say mentor? And then Andy Reid says, yes, protege. Can he say, teach me the ways of the force, teach me how to run the football? I got news for everybody. There are a lot of injuries on that offensive line for the Kansas City Chiefs in the last week.
Right.
I mean, they're moving guys in and out all over the place, yeah. Yerk, and it didn't seem to matter. And we've put together this little montage for everybody's enjoyment.
And here's a handoff, and here is Edwards-Helaire, like a rocket through the line, and a carry of 31.
Second down and 6. And Montgomery is hit in the backfield for a loss by the rookie out of Auburn, Derrick Brown.
And they don't have to overplay this guy, Edwards-Helaire. Man, he is a good-looking rookie. Here's a delayed handoff. Edwards-Helaire's got a first down and more. Broken tackle, maybe two.
From the 13, Montgomery. They're swallowed up.
Edwards-Helaire again breaking tackles. And he gets 9.
I like him a lot. I like him coming into this game. I like him even more walking out.
I mean, for the Bears, it's, you know, 2 yards in a cloud of dust. Meantime, they get 9 yards a pop. I mean, they're running it down their throats.
For our guys, it's handoff goes to Montgomery. Hit in the backfield instantaneously as he touches the ball.
And Montgomery tripped up in the backfield again.
Yeah.
Oh, and Rashad Coward gets blown up off the line of scrimmage and is tackling his own player.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, you better get on the horn with Andy Reid and say, Coach, teach me. You tried. Maybe I wasn't listening. Aikman had a line last night, too, at one point. He said, I don't think I've ever seen Andy Reid commit to the run like this. I mean, even Andy Reid knows sometimes, hey, maybe you just got to do it. It was a wet, sloppy night. Tracy Butler told us that last week when she joined us. She said, there's 2 Monday night games. That first one's going to be wet. It's going to be rainy. She was dead on.
100%.
Dead on balls under, accurate.
Under?
Girl.
Under?
Yeah, I hit the under. Yeah. The under came in. Yes.
Another shellacking for the good kid. I mean, I thought I was going to be able to recover if I went 3-0 yesterday. Buffalo minus 4.5. How'd that go for me?
That didn't go so well for
you. Are you not a believer as much in Buffalo?
Buffalo was not a favorite yesterday, buddy.
I was getting 4.5.
Yes.
I was getting 4.5.
Okay, yeah.
It didn't matter.
No,
it didn't matter.
It didn't matter either way.
I'm getting 4.5. It doesn't matter.
It didn't matter. I'm sorry, Keith. You're right. Yeah.
Yes.
It was a rough week in the NFL. I'm not going to lie. I had my worst week, too. Week 6.
Scratched my head.
It was rough.
It was my first really week I got pummeled.
Yeah.
I mean, I got it kicked in.
It happens, man. It's gambling.
Affected me today. It affected me on my DraftKings read a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
When you're a loser like that, it hurts the soul, Carm.
Well, sorry, it hurts. So you have bad weeks gambling.
I'm not 100% today. Just know it's affected me.
You have bad weeks in the NFL. And why can't the Bears run the ball like the Kansas City Chiefs? 312-332-3776. Two Irons in South Bend with a question for Yurko. What's up, Two Iron?
Hey, not too much. Hey, speaking of hurting the soul, Yerk, how'd we played in the big hole at Glenwoody on Saturday, Fest. And they're the same spot there every year. I didn't see really anything different too much. How'd you guys end up doing?
Well, we ended. I was out there on Sunday. We were tied. We played in the big cup on Sunday at Glenwoody.
So Yurko told us about this last week. The big cup is the diameter is 10 inches.
10-inch diameter. They put it at the worst spots in the green, like right next to the edge where if you miss the putt, it rolls into the rough, that kind of thing. We tied for first. There's a 3-way tie at minus 10.
Look at you, dude.
And then we went out for the playoff holes, and we did not do well. We were closest to the hole, but in the rough, and we could not chip in from the angle we were at. Both teams parred. They went back out to play.
Hey, getting into the playoffs, not bad, though.
And a guy named Scrubby, his team ended up winning.
All right.
Big fella, Scrubby.
I've never played one of these big cup tournaments. Right. It sounds interesting.
The Bring Your Best guys, there's a gentleman from Misswood, and I forget his name.
That's a great course, by the way.
They twin 55s. They went out for a playoff. 4 holes they played off.
Yeah.
And then they finally got themselves a winner. But I think the pro from Godfrey's his name from Misswood. He's the one that knows. 55, minus 17 they shot.
Jeez. Well, when you got a bunch of pros.
Well, there are a bunch of guys who can really shellack the ball. They played from the longest distance on the course. So it was a little bit different than what we did. We played from the blues or the whites. That kind of
you ever play Misswood? That is, I have not that played Mistwood. That is a great golf course, but it is hard. I mean, every hole you got to force carry. Right. It is really hard.
Well, I mean, that's the kind of course I can't play anymore.
It's really
force
hard.
Force carry?
Yeah.
I'm still good off the tee. I'm just not striking the ball solid anymore.
Yeah.
I just, game. With the irons, I'm not. I don't know if I'm casting the club. I'm too steep. I'm shallow. I need some professional help. And my pro, where I'm at Lincolnshire, looked at my swing and says, "Yerk, you're too old to change. I can't help you.
You're too old to change. This is good, actually. Bring up golf for a second, because I think there. I was wondering, like, I had a golf analogy about the Bears as I was lamenting our beloved Chicago Bears and their lack of offense.
Does it
yesterday.
Involve the great Juan Castillo at
it,
all?
No, it doesn't okay. involve the great Juan Castillo. But I was thinking about the Bears, and it made me think about my golf game and most amateur players' golf game and what is so frustrating. And I can tell, I could talk to you about that coming up next. Plus, some hilarious Q&A stuff about the Bears in the weekly 538 football chat that they do on their website, under their sports section, each and every Monday, recapping the weekend in the NFL. Some Bear-centric stuff that I want to talk to you about next. 312-332-3776. If you want to join us, talk about Andy Reid's genius and why none of it is seemingly rubbed off on Matt Nagy the way we thought. It's Carmen and Yurko coming right back.
It's Carmen and Yurko.
Sports talk while you're on the clock.
Do I exaggerate?
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Yurko, I don't know about you, but I think this is the case for a lot of amateur golfers. Those of us that are, you know, the double-digit handicapper, you know, 13, 14s and upwards, really. I can have rounds where I'm hitting the ball really well off the tee. I mean, all of a sudden, the driver's working, and it feels good, you know? I mean, you're hitting it hard. You're hitting it straight. You're putting it where you want to put it. And then the rest of my game goes to crap.
Yes.
And then there's days when I'm up on the tee, and I'm duck hooking it, and I'm getting real steep, and I got the big slice. It's not even a fade.
Right.
It's a slice.
Oh, yeah.
I like to call it a fade. It's not a fade.
Power
it's a slice.
Fade,
yeah,
Carm.
Power fade. Sure. Power
That's what
fade.
I like to call my slice. Yeah. Power fade.
And then those days, I'm hitting six irons, 185, and I'm putting like a maniac on the greens. As a golfer, you think, why the hell can't I just put it together?
The two words you hate on the tee are reload.
You know, so I think we all kind of know that, right? And I was thinking about the Bears. I was listening to Waddle and Sylvie yesterday. I was reading 538's, weekly sort of chat that they post on the website with their NFL people. Talking about, and they were talking about the Bears and having some fun at their expense. And I don't blame it. I was thinking, like, there's got to be a day where the Bears are going to find a franchise quarterback, right? Like, the sheer odd, like, the odds say at some point in our lifetime, believe it or not, like, they're going to stumble into a quarterback that fires, that's really good, and that they're going to have a really good, fun, explosive, creative offense that we're going to be excited about. And I was thinking, in just our luck, that's when their defense will completely go to crap. You know, like the only thing we've ever known is play great defense. And we've had some great running backs as Bears fans, too, obviously, maybe the greatest. Good running games, great defenses. And then I can just see like 5 years from now, 10 years from now, we're going to be talking about they finally found him. They found him. And they're going to be bad because their defense sucks. Like is that our fate?
But we felt that a little bit. The double 50s that came up two games in a row with Trestman. Remember when that happened?
Yeah, but was their offense 50s. Really great then?
No, the offense was terrible then. Still, it was all bad. But the defense collapsed at the same process.
Yeah.
So we've seen at least a bad defense with a bad offense.
And
it's not like we're shocked by that.
To add to Yurko's point, right around that time frame, I think. There were people in Chicago who believed that the Bears had a franchise quarterback moment.
I did. Yeah, no. I did.
Yeah.
When they got Jay Cutler, I was rejoicing.
Was it 7-3 against the Chargers when he broke his thumb?
Yeah.
Like, that felt like that game before he broke his thumb. It felt like they had found.
But I mean, like, isn't there going to be a day when we have our Russell Wilson? When we have, you know, even watching.
History will tell you absolutely not.
God, it's like, can't we have that just for a little while? Like, that kind of an offense? Isn't there going to be a day when, you know, dare I say, we get our Rodgers? Even, and I don't want to go crazy because he's played like five games, but like even watching Justin Herbert, you can't tell me that you're not looking at that right now as a Bears fan going, geez, that'd be nice, man. Tua's going to start. That's breaking, by the way. Coming out of bye, Look, Fitzmagic, you take him as far as you can go. I know they're coming off a couple of wins. They're a good story. They're a feisty team under Brian Flores. They are. They're good.
But Fitzpatrick's a smart guy. He knows eventually Tua's coming in.
Come on. Tua's going to start out of buying next
week. Fitzpatrick's going to cash checks for as long as possible in the NFL.
The timing's odd, though.
A little bit.
3-3.
Yeah.
The Bills lost yesterday, so they're a game back in that division. The Patriots look like they're struggling with their skill position players. That's a winnable division. Is Tua better than Fitz right now?
They must be seeing something in practice that leads them to believe that, don't you think?
He's somewhat dynamic.
They might also think, like, okay, we're about out with Fitzmagic here. You know it's going to go at some point. Maybe they're just trying to beat it, you know, beat it to the punch, I guess, in a sense, right?
Oh, you were talking about the other guy.
Jeffrey Toobin again? Yeah. So I think that's why they're doing it. But, yeah, like, is there ever going to be a day when it all comes together? When it all comes together, those guys are like the three handicap golfers. You know, they could do it all. They hit the ball hard. They shape it. They hit their irons well. They chip. They putt. You know, will the Bears ever be that? I don't know. 312-332-3776. Scotty is in New Lenox. What's up, Scotty? Or is this Shoddy? Sorry.
Either or.
What's up, buddy?
First, I want to tell Yurko I feel his pain. I can't
understand a word you're saying, buddy. You got to fix that. I couldn't understand a single word he said. Could you?
No.
We got to fix up that phone, pal. I don't know. I couldn't make. Did anybody make out a single word he said?
I understood Yurko. I don't know what you're talking about.
Let's try to fix that phone.
Let's fix it. We'll go back to him.
Let's go to a Harold in Yorkville on ESPN 1000. What's up, Harold?
Hey, Carmen Yurk. You know, Carmen, you might be right, but we might get that quarterback. But, you know, we need an offensive line. But the reason I called is everybody's giving Andy Reid all the credit. And I think it goes to Eric Bieniemy because he has been calling the plays for a couple of years now. And whenever they show him on the sideline, they're always saying, you know, this guy has a chance to be a really good head coach. And, you know, the guy was a running back in college and a really good one, too. So
is Eric Bieniemy calling the plays for them? I mean, Andy.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
He's calling
the
plays?
You know, and maybe after this year we reevaluate and go after him as a head coach.
What's Andy Reid doing with that play sheet?
Now, listen, it's his offense. He's the one that taught it to the guys.
Thanks, Harold.
Everybody that came out of there was under the tutelage of Andy Reid. It's Andy Reid's offense. When they get in there, they get the playbook. They're learning his offense.
Is Bieniemy? I mean, what if Bieniemy turns out to be just like Nagy? I don't know.
Nagy's talked about it, though. Like, when you get in there, it's, you know, it's collaborative effort. You had Peterson. You had, Nagy. You've had all these play callers who are in the room together designing plays, and Andy Reid's open to every idea.
Right.
And, you know, Bieniemy right now has the play calls, but I think, like Yurko's point, like, ultimately Andy Reid's the one who has put the foundation in place where he trusts these guys.
And Andy's, like, right there. I don't know if he's looking over his shoulder or what, but Andy's got the play card in front of him. I mean, Andy Reid's standing on the sideline with the play call and the headset on and seems to be very, very involved. But that's true. Nagy has always said, and we've talked to Andy. Yurko knows this as well as anybody, too, I think, because he goes back with him so much. But, like, Andy's definitely open to suggestions and input, and he likes the collaborative effort, I think.
He was an assistant coach for an extended period of time. So I think he treats his assistants the way he probably was treated, you know, or the way that he wanted to be treated when he was an assistant coach.
Yeah. Let's go to Doc in Rogers Park. What's up, Doc?
Hey, guys, you guys are great. Big boxing fan here. I want to know what you thought about Julie Letterman's 119-109 scoring of that fight. That was almost a draw and almost a split decision in the other guy's favor in the LaMancho and Lopez's fight.
I'm going to have to look it up, my friend.
I got to be honest, I did not
see the fight.
You're speaking French to me, but Merkin knows you're a fight fan, Merk. You know what Doc's talking about?
I'm a fan of the Sweet Science. It was on ESPN on Saturday night.
All right, so we answered Doc's question. What do you think?
The Andre Ward had it scored even.
All right.
And this Letterman is Harold Letterman's daughter. You remember Harold Letterman?
Harold Letterman.
He's a longtime guy on stuff like this on boxing on HBO.
Not really.
No.
Maybe.
Jim, I got the fight scored. Okay, well, Harold
I kind of recognize
Harold
that voice.
Harold Letterman's a legend.
All right.
He was a legend. He passed away. But I thought she was crazy as well. I did not see that fight. I thought Lopez won the fight. I will say I thought Lopez
Isn't
won the
that
fight.
Why the only that's always they want right. It's kind of dirty,
he was a
right?
Three, like, he was a 3-1 dog, and he was a 3-1 underdog.
Lopez
and
Garcia, is that the fight?
Lopez Kamachenko or something like that. I can't remember the other guy's name. But all I know is Lopez was the better fighter. But I was shocked when I heard the things. I'm like, oh, it's going to go to the it's going to go to the other guy because he was the favorite.
I didn't even know this was a controversy from the weekend. Yes. I didn't even know it. Yes. I haven't heard
big time.
I haven't heard
Twitter
about
was
it.
Going nuts.
No kidding. Lomachenko.
Lomachenko, thank you.
Yeah. Lopez Lomachenko.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're saying the second fight will happen. So the point is, how can one official have it so different than the other two officials have?
Right. Isn't that why people always suspect boxing's a little
absolutely
a little dirty?
A little shady. A little shady. Yeah.
You know, that's when you have judges. I mean, you know, it's like the Olympics.
I thought I would have given it was. I thought
shouldn't
it was
there just be a winner and a loser?
I mean, yes. I thought it was pretty good. I thought the fight was pretty square until the last round. Lopez came out and was so much more aggressive, and I'm like, give him the fight from that last round.
So, I mean, then you score 10-8.
Right.
Exactly. So you score 10-8 because he had dominated the round.
Right, and he wins by 2 or 3 points, not 10. Mm. So.
Coming up next, there's a new football metric out there, and it pokes fun at the Bears. That's next.
Stream ESPN 1000 anytime through the ESPN Chicago app.
Listening to Carmen and Yurko. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Waiver wires open in fantasy leagues. That means that Meller's got his fantasy segment for everybody coming up in about a half hour. You want to stay tuned for that. As we're getting deep into the season here in fantasy, and Meller will help you to find the best.
Help you adjust.
Yeah, help you adjust. Find the best available players that are out there on the waiver wire.
It may look lost and it may look bleak, but let me tell you, my guy Jeff Meller, he's overturned every single roster to find out where the opportunity is at.
I hope. I mean, I gave him love for this last week because, like, in week 3 or 4, Meller said Claypool. You should pick up Chase Claypool. He had another touchdown on Sunday. I mean, like,
you know who's not
having
a good year?
He's got 6 touchdowns on the year, guys.
You know who's not having a good year with Pittsburgh?
Juju Smith-Schuster.
Juju's been terrible. He's
not
also
the number one. He's not the number one, though. He's never really excelled on the outside.
No, yeah, it's true.
That's where, for fantasy purposes, you really excel.
Yeah.
So Chase, I think, is going to be the number one receiver when all is said and done this year.
And they use him. They use him with those the screens and handoffs, yes. And he's so versatile. He's strong. He's fast. I mean, like, he's been unbelievable.
I saw you come out in the hate on Kirk Cousins early.
I know. He still got me.
That's the game of fantasy football.
It is.
You wait for the garbage time stats, my friend.
Thank God. Jeff Blake, guys. That's Jeff Blake. Jeff Blake's career was that. And that's why Jeff Blake was a great fantasy quarterback.
I've been ripping Kirk Cousins since he was in Washington, okay? I think Kirk Cousins is barely better than Jay Cutler. I'm sorry. And people would always come after me and say, well, what are you talking about? And all they knew was his fantasy stats.
Numbers, yes.
Because he's always put up good. He's terrible. And he has robbed two teams. The Bulls used to call Eddie Robinson, he robbed us. I don't know if there's a nice little, what's the word I'm looking for? Assimilation. Like, not assimilation. What's the word I'm looking for?
Yeah, I'm trying to search for it with you, and I know what you're talking about. A cute little saying?
Yeah, no. But,
nickname?
No. Hey.
Sobriquet, Carm?
I don't know, whatever.
I thought you said you're all right, Spider.
I thought you said you're all right, Spider.
An anagram?
No, not an anagram. I'm blanking on what exactly. I'm so hot and bothered now. Kirk Cousins has never been good, ever. He has never been good.
A gif,
a meme.
You like that.
People were like, oh, what are you talking about? He threw for 4,000. He's a good fantasy quarterback. He's terrible.
Ooh-wee.
And he has robbed. He has completely
robbed
two teams.
He's going to get Mike Zimmer fired.
Think about all the money he's made. Are you kidding me?
Carmen, people are on Twitch, analogy, pun, any of those two? No,
it's not
analogy.
Even that. It's more like...
Pun, a limerick. How about a limerick?
Almost like
euphemism?
Alliteration.
Euphemism?
Like, no, almost like alliteration. Like, but that's not the right word either. I don't know. I'm confused. I apologized. I'm upset. He's terrible.
Is it the Euphrates?
But Meller, to Meller's point, the Euphrates, the Fertile Crescent. To Meller's point, he did kind of bail me out with because he threw for so many garbage time. He's just terrible. That's the end of it.
What's the other river there? I said the Euphrates. What's the other one?
The Tigris, right?
Yeah.
The Tigris and the Euphrates.
Look at this guy. You're coming with
you
me
don't
to trivia.
Mess with me.
Yeah. Trivia tonight, Carm. No, you
know.
Play?
Yeah, well, you know I'm good for trivia always. The Fertile Crescent. All right, so I was reading some of 538's chat. They do this with like all their NFL people, right, Yerk? And they literally just, they ask questions and then they transcribe it and they put it on the website.
Yeah, most certainly.
So Sarah Ziegler says, all right, let's talk about the one loss teams because they were talking about, you know, like, Tampa, I think that win. They were talking about Russ coming out of bye now. They're undefeated, the only undefeated team in the NFC. She goes, let's talk about the one-loss teams this week. Baltimore Ravens and the Bears. We expected the Ravens to be roughly in this position. We did not expect the Bears. What's going on in Chicago? Neil Payne. I'd love to give credit to Nick Foles, but really it's just the defense. This is the same Bears formula as ever, which is what we were talking about. Salfino, I think these teams are similar along with the Steelers. I don't really believe in any of their offenses. It seems crazy given how the Ravens are scoring. It's just Baltimore's passing game is practically non-existent now. Neil Payne, I guess Foles has a positive vomit. Value over Mitchell Trubisky. That's painful.
That's pretty good.
It's good and it's painful at the same time. That's not a real metric, I don't think. He's just having fun. What's the quarterback's vomit? Like, what's your value over Mitch Trubisky? What's Fitzmagic's vomit? Salfino, the undefeated 2020 Mitch Trubisky, you mean? It's funny how there seems to be an NFL rule that the Bears are good. Their defense has to be the thing that carries them. Josh Hirschmeier, even their defense hasn't been that dominant, though. They're sixth in yards per play, which is good, but probably doesn't explain the 5-1 record. They've been weirdly lucky, probably the most fraudulent 5-win team in the league. Salfino says, that's quasi-dominant, Josh. It passes for dominant in 2020 anyway. The key for them is that they get a lot of pressure without blitzing, and they kind of go on and on, and Neil Payne finishes it with a funny line. He says, if the Bears and the Bills merge their best parts, they might be Super Bowl favorites. If they merge their worst parts, they'd be the Jets.
Yes.
Which is actually pretty true and pretty apropos. Speaking of funny lines, Dan Pompey had a funny one, like in his random thoughts after Sunday in The Athletic. He said, can you imagine in a real game, not in practice, the Bears' defensive line versus the Bears' offensive line? Oh. He said he'd be destined for the mercy rule.
Well, on that worst team.
He'd be destined for the mercy rule.
On that worst team, it would be the Bears' 5 offensive linemen that aren't starting on the worst team.
Yes.
You're taking the Bills' offensive line, you're transplanting them over here and saying, okay, that's not even a discussion point.
We're going to steal 538's metric, value over Mitch Trubisky. The vomit. Value over Mitch
I think they could have just went with vomit.
Could have done that, too. Play off of it. That's a clever play, Yurko.
Value over Mitch.
Yurko's going to come up with the algorithm. He's pretty good at that stuff. What's the value over Mitchell Trubisky? When we come back, we'll take more of your Bears calls, anything you want to talk about. We got the World Series to preview. We'll do that during the second hour of the show. 312-332-3776. Plus, Meller's Musings. Jeff Meller has the waiver watch for you. Don't miss it in 15 minutes. We'll be back in just 2 minutes.